Morning.
Good morning, and it's Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
Oh, Dunkin' Yo-Yos. Oh, yes, you're indeed. Right. Okay, well, I get a yo-yo. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it has its ups and downs.
Oh, rim shot for Bernie. Bernie's back, and you wearing boots? Are you wearing boots?
Yeah, I think he's wearing boots.
No, I'm not wearing boots today.
You should be, because you're going to get deep in here, dude.
It is deep.
All right, history being what it is, and when I think of history in El Paso these days, if I had to pick a spokesperson in the county to say what is El Paso history, I'd go with you.
Because of the initials?
No, that's just part of it.
Oh, okay.
But because you've actually taken the time to look at the history, you get a kick out of this stuff,
don't
you?
I do. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of history to talk about.
What interests you? I mean, Leon was into gunfighters. I like old, ancient stuff. Treasure on the Mountain. But what do you like?
What do I like? You know, it's really hard to zero in on one topic because it's just all so fascinating. And I think the fascinating thing about it is when you look at what's taken place in El Paso, for instance, you're talking about the Crest Collection. Crest started his chain of stores in 1896. Well, in El Paso, that was the year that Dallas Stoudemire met his demise with lead poisoning and was shipped down to Anfree, Texas. So you got a gentleman who's starting a chain of over 200 stores in Pennsylvania, then down into Miami, Florida, and the South. You've got the folks out here wheeling six guns. So it's a strange comparison to the two areas of the world.
Well, Mr. Crest figured out what was good about El Paso because, as we mentioned in the first hour, the people would come over from Juarez in droves to buy cheap stuff at his store.
He capitalized on the philosophy that have a more narrow target of product, and he could buy larger quantities. Thereby, he could share that savings with the customers.
You know what's funny is you see the dollar stores now and the 99-cent stores. That's basically the same.
He started that.
He started it way before they did, yeah.
5, 10, and 25-cent stores.
That's right. I used to go in the one in my hometown. Yeah. I used to love to go there.
You know, there was another one here. Was it in California as well, the Wins?
Wins store. Yeah.
Wins, W-Y-N-N-S.
That came on later.
Yeah,
but he kind of plagiarized the idea from Woolworth.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. In fact, he was so inspired by Woolworth, but Woolworth had a wider range of product, a little bit more expensive. He was so he was so committed to Woolworth's philosophy that when Woolworth passed away, he closed every store in the United States for the day.
The Crest guy did?
The Crest guy did. Oh, Samuel Crest, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was a bizarre story about how that stuff came to El Paso, because I think it was the Woman's Club of El Paso started writing the Crest people letters in the 1930s.
Yeah.
The Woman's Club wanted to do art. They originally had art on no fence. They put up a fence in downtown in San Jacinto Plaza. And they would have an art display down there of local people.
They started the first arts department.
They sort of made that up.
Yeah.
And so they said, we need an art thing going on here. Maybe, Mr. Crest, can we have some of your paintings? Like, you serious? You're asking him for your – and he gave them to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave them to the city.
It was the Women's Club of the Chamber of Commerce that convinced him to open a store here.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
1907. Well, it burnt down twice.
Oh.
And they finally relocated to where the federal building was and where it is today. And they built that store in 37.
So the store standing on the corner of Oregon and Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the other side of the street from the plaza.
Yeah, right across the street from the San Jacinto Plaza, yeah.
And that store is what, 37?
Yeah.
But that was not a Trost.
No, was not a Trost. He had, there was a gentleman by the name of Sibert that was an architect that went to Pratt School in Brooklyn and graduated from Pratt and then went on to Cornell University, studied there, and then he moved down to Florida because he saw an opportunity as an architect down there because it was a big booming period of time in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And the hurricane came through and devastated Florida and kind of killed the economy, so he moved back up to Brooklyn, and he answered a newspaper ad, and he went to work for Crest and became their lead architect, and he designed well over 50 stores.
That's a pretty cool-looking building, though, isn't it?
It is a really, really cool building,
I was in there as a kid, but have you ever been in there recently?
Recently, it's really in abysmal shape.
Yeah, it's got to be torn up inside.
Yeah, they've got a lot of work to do to it. And I know the present owner – well, I shouldn't say present owner because it's in bankruptcy.
Is it in transition, Mr. Abraham?
It's on its way. But there's a lot of people that want to buy it. And I know that Mr. Foster is very interested in it. I'd love to see him get his hands on it.
Well, he'd have three out of four corners there if he did that.
He would. He would.
Hey, we could sell him the plaza. He can have the whole darn thing. What the heck?
Yeah.
But he's already got the Plaza Hotel. He's got the Mills Building.
Yeah.
And he's got the Crest would be great. Well, somebody needs to get a hold of those properties from Billy Abraham who will take care of them and not just promise to take care of them.
Yeah.
Bless his heart, that's all he's ever done. He's just promised to take care of them.
Yeah, he's doing his bit.
And right now, we'll finish the story here because people may not know who we're talking about. Billy Abraham is a businessman in El Paso, I'll use that term in quotes, who has been buying up old derelict Trost buildings and other properties For decades.
He's a relative of the Caples family. Caples, Richard Caples, was one of our early mayors.
So he's got that building.
He's got that building, and which is also subject to foreclosure and bankruptcy and all that. So all this stuff is very fluid, so to speak, right now. So we're just waiting for the courts to make decisions on the values and then have the offers, have the deals consummated.
Billy Abraham, I believe, is one of the few people who's ever had the city buy a building out from under him in eminent domain.
Yes.
Up on Arizona Avenue.
Yes.
The A.B. Fall Mansion.
Paid a sweet dollar for that and then spent a lot more money rehabilitating it.
And it's not open for tours.
No.
Nope.
No, it's not.
I think the city needs to have a better understanding of how to buy an old property and rehabilitate it and make it available to the public and not just move people in there for square footage.
They're doing the same thing down in the Duranguito neighborhood area, too, where they're buying all that property up at exorbitant prices. And, that's a whole other story for a whole other radio show.
I think we have yet to see that one play out, and I believe it's going to play out maybe even in the courts. So who knows? We'll see.
We'll have to see.
What we like to see here, I would speak for myself, but this radio program would like to see history promoted, preserved, and protected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you promote it, my goodness, you might get a tourist or two.
And then marketed.
Oh, marketed. I mean, that's one thing we've never done correctly.
No.
How much money did they spend going to South by Southwest the last 3 years? And show me anything that resulted from that.
A couple of interviews on TV for candidates for federal office.
So that being the case, had that money been spent promoting El Paso history, you could have had 3-4 times that coming back already in tourism.
We're convinced that that's true.
They're making stupid mistakes down there when it comes to history.
Well,
No, you don't have to say that. I will say that because I'm not – well, maybe they can unelect me too. You never can tell. But in the meantime, Bernie Sargent's here. What do you think we should talk about this morning? Because we talk about pioneers.
Yeah, we can talk about the Pioneer Association. It's the oldest association of its kind in El Paso. Started in 1904, and it was the who's who of El Paso that were parts of it. I mean, their first reunion was at Hart's Mill, sitting in front of one of the walls of the old Hart's Mill.
Oh, there's a picture of that.
Yeah, yeah. And on the backside, it's identified a lot of the people that are in it, including a gentleman that we'll be talking about in the not-too-distant future, Felix Martinez, a Hispanic gentleman from New Mexico, that moved down here, a very opportunistic, very ambitious individual.
Incredible.
Incredibly. Oh, yeah.
I've tried to do a history moment. I just can't get him into 60 seconds or, 1.5 minutes.
He's a fascinating individual. Yeah. I had the honor yesterday of sitting with his great-great-grandson at our house talking about the history of Felix. Because on August 30th, we're going to unveil a historical marker dedicated to Felix Martinez. Talks a little bit about his background. He was involved with Richard Burgess on the Elephant Butte Dam. He was very much involved in that. He was part owner of Portland Cement. Go figure, all these buildings made out of concrete downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a great picture of him standing with Zach White and with Trost in front of the construction of the Paso del Norte Hotel.
Great history there, and I'd love to see that. I love to see that stuff done on television.
Yeah, he also, when I was talking with his great-great-grandson yesterday, he has a pistol that that Felix Martinez traded with Pancho Villa. They traded pistols.
Oh, my.
And it was sort of a thank you type thing. And he's got his sword. He was part of the Knights of the Pythias. And he has his diary. I mean, just all kinds of really
neat stuff. Think about what that is even.
Stuff, the Pythias. It's a religious sect, so to speak, of the Catholic Church, not quite like the Masonic Lodge.
But more like, I guess, maybe the Knights Templar
Knights of Columbus,
one of those knights, people that go at night, whatever.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with wearing pith helmets.
No, none of that stuff, huh? Yeah. Well, the El Paso history is just totally amazing. Where do you want to go with this? You want to talk about him some more? You got some other people?
Well, let me mention a couple of things. So you kind of alluded to the Pioneer Association. We are very much involved with Camp Pioneer, which right now is the temporary home of the Boy Scouts for their camping purposes.
You're a board member of this.
I'm the president of the board.
Okay.
But fortunate to be the president. I guess either that or I just didn't say no.
Yeah, but, you were asleep at the wrong time in the meeting.
I made that meeting. I just missed the vote. Got a great group of folks that are on that board. When I mentioned it, when it incorporated in 1904, it wasn't until about 1911, 1912 when they allowed women to be part of it. Now, not as members, but as kind of an auxiliary.
Oh.
And then ultimately they changed the bylaws. Thankfully that now we have ladies involved because those are the worker bees for us. I mean,
The last ones from the old original crowd, and she wasn't in the first group, but she was in a subsequent group, was Nancy Hamilton.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
And she ended up with all their files of stuff.
She did.
Yeah.
And that's what got donated to the Historical Society. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they had a bunch of new old stuff to play with.
Oh, yeah.
Including all these pioneers.
Yeah. Well, Pioneer Plaza initially was called the Little Plaza.
Oh.
And it was the Pioneer Association that petitioned the city through the Chamber of Commerce to change the name and identify it as Pioneer Plaza.
Interesting stuff. Bernie mm-hmm. Sargent's in the house. We're going to keep talking history, whether you like it or not. And you should like it because this is good stuff. And you should like it because it's interesting and you weren't mm-hmm. taught it in your schools.
That's right.
Unless you went to a private school in El Paso, maybe you got taught. Because I can guarantee you there are private schools all over the place that are teaching El Paso history.
Yes.
And I know that because they buy our DVDs.
Not only that, but they invite us to go in there and talk.
And then so you've been down to see like the people at St. Clement's.
Mm-hmm.
They're up on what's going on. And some kids in Juarez know more about El Paso history the kids in El Paso.
Well, we get a lot of the kids that come out to Keystone.
That's it.
And that's when I give them a little history lesson.
And they start giving it back to you, some of them, I bet.
Yeah, they give back things, yeah.
No, you're kidding.
No, they do. They're great kids.
And there's another thing to talk about is Keystone. What a history there. People don't understand there's a 5,000-year-old, at least 5,000 years old.
At least.
Archaeological village under the desert over there on Donovan Drive.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting is that?
Very.
Very. Okay. Doing the trivia. Shall we be trivialized?
Well, yes, and I changed one of the questions.
Oh, no. Since they haven't heard him yet.
Because we didn't talk too much about that first one. So I changed it to one we were talking about.
Oh, Mick, and we're going to see if the phones work anyway.
I know,
whatever.
So it's kind of like, whatever.
Okay. Phone roulette coming up.
All right. The first question is, who did Kress admire so much that when he died, he closed all of his stores?
Oh, for the other guy.
Yes, the other the man that he basically
Who's
started
the other guy?
Who was
okay.
the other guy, yes. And the second question was, how many pieces of artwork and sculpture did Kress donate to El Paso? And we talked about that last hour several times.
Well, we'll give it within two or three. If you got the general number, what do you think?
So,
because it was not just all paintings.
That's right. There was some.
So if they are going to answer these questions by phone, which you give them in a minute, they get what?
They can get a $10 or $20 gift certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD.
Hey, Bernie, we're going to get you to pick the Pepe's anyway, right?
Oh,
give me the menu.
Right.
Here it is. Here's the menu. Pick a Pepe's anyway and make it quick because Bill wants to make a commercial happen.
And Bill's hungry.
He is. He's got a burrito.
He's got a burrito next door. How about the green or red chili enchiladas?
Green or red chili enchiladas.
Normally $9.95.
And today only $6 because it's the Oñate.
That's special. Right. Especial.
Especial. Thank you very much. That's it. And oh, now the phones are lighting up. You started describing the food.
I know.
Bill, we got to get these people on the air. And they have to call us. What's that number, Melissa?
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation. Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
The trucks are rolling in. 20 ribeyes for $25.
20 ribeyes for $25?
You heard right. 20 ribeyes for $25 direct to you.
Where?
Two locations open right now at the Cielo Vista Mall and at the Sunland Park Mall.
20 ribeyes.
For $25, yes, that's almost a dollar per steak. It's a mega meat blowout sale.
It's a parking lot party.
Look for the big truck and big tent open right now at the Cielo Vista Mall and at the Sunland Park Mall.
20 ribeyes for $25?
Yes, that's 20 ribeyes for $25. Plus crazy bulk deals of premium steak, mega ribeyes, T-bones, fillets, New York strips.
Plus chicken, seafood, and pork.
20 ribeyes for $25 right now.
That's almost a dollar per steak.
Limited time. Look for the big tent and big truck. Open right now at the Cielo Vista Mall and at the Sunland Park Mall parking lots.
Now accepting Amex and EBT.
We're here now and we'll see you there.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Scientists tell us that Earth is overdue for a huge solar flare. Bad news, it'll probably fry our electronics and technology. Good news, we'll all get a spectacular tan. Well, a good place to hunker down for the looming sunpocalypse is Motel 6. You'll get a great low rate on a great room under a roof and save more for other stuff like sunscreen or a nice big hat. Well, I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light on for you. Or maybe not.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to try this phone roulette again here. We've got Kay, Larry, and Albert on the phone here. Now, we don't have enough questions for all three of you, but we have enough prizes for all three of you. So
that's right.
If we can't get you on the air, Shelley, we'll deal with you and work real hard to figure out which one of you gets what. So in the meantime, I got to tell you a couple things. Buy three, get one free. DVDs for Father's Day. It's Sunday, June 17th. So if you start now thinking about this, Gunfights of the Old West, as Melissa would say. Yay. El Paso's Waco Tanks. Or Pancho Villa. There he is looking at you in the Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso. And you can get these videos all around town. Buy three, get one free. And that's only in the stores. We haven't figured out how to do that on the website yet. In the meantime, come next week, by the way, we're not going to be here next week physically. We think we're going to be here audibly.
I hope so.
I'm just a guess at this point. But it would be an encore show, Patriots from the Barrio, and we're going to rerun that next week. That was a fabulous group of people. In
there. That was great.
And
good show.
So next week when it says go to Pepe's, we're not going to be there. You can go to Pepe's anyway.
Please go to Pepe's.
June the 2nd, we come back for a live show. This is going to be different. This is the Deming Luna Membris Museum from Deming, New Mexico. Wendy and I went in there about 6 weeks ago. What a fabulous little museum.
Looks great on the outside. We went on Sunday and they weren't open.
Oh, they should have been.
No, nothing was open. Those sidewalks were rolled up, so don't go on Sunday.
It was Mother's Day.
Oh, that's Sunday.
But I think they're closed on Sunday.
They have like 75 volunteers that run that place. That's a lot of people.
That's great.
And you ought to see what's in there. They had pulled out your grandmother's old house when somebody passed away. They didn't give it away or dump it. They took it intact and put it in the museum.
So, the grandmother?
The grandmother.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The grandmother's out back, but, you know, her stuff.
She's anyway. In the corner.
Okay, Bernie, they got the Norden bomb site in there. What do you think of that?
That's pretty cool.
See, now you're interested.
That's very cool.
Got then a doll collection? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, that's
wasn't Norton part of the Jackie Gleason show?
No. I think he was, but he ended up on the moon. Okay. No, that was the wife.
June 2nd
is what we're talking about there, and the building was designed by Tro, so that'll be interesting to hear what they've got. June the 9th, a bunch of people from the old Asarco days. We're going to sit around here and talk about old Asarco because it's gone, and the stories are not gone. And we think we're going to get some older people who saw quite a bit of that history. And June the 16th, we're scheduling a Vietnam-era Special Forces reunion. They're having one here in El Paso on that weekend. We expect to see a couple of them coming in here. What do you got to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to mention, everybody, the Museum of Archaeology has got some great new exhibits. The first one is the Casas Grandes Resurgence, the Early Potters of Mata Ortiz, the Children of
I always spell that one.
Yeah, it's Histocinum. There we go, Histocinum. The Artistic Tradition of the Hopi. And then the other exhibit, Artifacts from the Local Excavation. It's a mini excavation exhibition that explains the history of El Paso's missions. And these are some great exhibits they've got going because they're always doing something new at the Archaeology Museum. So get out there. It's air conditioned, so you get out of the heat. So head on out there. They're over there on Trans Mountain and 54 Freeway. And if you have more questions, go to the website, which is thearchaeology.elpasotex.gov.
All right, let's try this trivia thing again here. We can have the trivia work with Shelley off the air on the phone, or maybe we'll put them on the air.
If we can get them on
the
air.
It just depends on when we get there, which is pretty soon. What's the question?
The first question is, who did Kress admire so much that when he died, he was his competitor, when he died, he closed all of his stores to honor him.
In honor of the other guy.
Yeah, the honor of his competitor.
I think Kay is on the radio now. Kay, do you think you're on the radio?
Hello.
Yay! Oh, my God. Clay, give her an award just because she got on the air.
Yeah, you get through. Hey, Kay, we're just thrilled the technology works.
I think we're going to hire Bill.
Bill needs a job
now.
Keeping
Bill.
Kay, what's on your mind here? What do you think? You know the answer? Try the question again.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Sir. Can you hear us?
Oh, Bill, that's the problem. They can't hear us on the other end. Punch some button in there. I don't know.
Okay, Bill, we're not hiring
you. Don't punch K.
Don't punch K. What's the question again?
Who did Kress admire so much that when he died...
Wrong button. That was the wrong button. I can just tell you that right now.
K, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes, K, can you speak with us?
Hello?
No, she can't. She can't hear us.
This isn't working real
well. K, hang in there. We're trying to get you on the air.
Okay.
She heard you that time.
What's the answer to the question? What's the answer to the question, Kay?
About Woolworth.
Hey!
Yay!
All right, we're going to have to do this by sign language on radio.
So you just stay there.
And Kay, you got yourself a prize. We lost Larry. Larry couldn't stand this anymore. Albert's still on the phone, but Kay.
Nope, Albert's gone.
If you can hear us, Kay, stay on the phone. Oh, but we need to. Can you pick a prize, either Pepe's or a DVD? Okay, this is one where Shelley's going to have to talk to you and you pick one, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
And thank you for your patience. We'll be, Shelley, talk to Kay and say thank you for Kay figuring out how to get on the air. She gets a DVD. We didn't go through the paces of which one. And now Shelley's in there doing hard labor here. That's the way that goes. All right, Bernie Sargent, we're going to take one more break here and come back and talk at more length. But the idea of El Paso history is something that I think a lot of people, and don't let it hit you on the way out. And I think I can hear that on the air. A lot of people don't understand the business of El Paso history because they weren't taught El Paso history as children.
No.
And that's the problem we've been thinking maybe should be fixed in this town.
Well, there's a lot of great things about it because every study that you read anywhere says that heritage and cultural tourism attracts more dollars, more heads and beds than any other type of tourism.
And the downtown people think heads and beds is a goal.
Yeah.
Because it's money into the hotels.
Absolutely.
Yay.
It does. It is. And but the I think a plus to the heritage and cultural education of the students is creating an esprit de corps amongst those of us that live here in El Paso. You know, we really love and honor the community for its heritage and culture. And
if we know it.
If we know it. And so our mission is to get out there and find a way to get that information in their hands. And one of the boards I'm on is the Borderplex Alliance Heritage Tourism Subcommittee, and that's one of our mandates is to get that information out there to the people by hook or crook, you know, by marketing what we have to offer.
We're going to have to start talking pretty soon about maybe doing some television. What do you think?
I think television would be a good thing.
And remember what Leon used to do in the old days? And Nick Miller on both stations,
mm-hmm.
They had those little history reports.
Yeah, I think it's great.
We should look at putting those back on the air because if nothing else, it's only a short thing you can put on a local station.
Sure.
But it'll give somebody an idea that there's another piece of El Paso they didn't know about.
Well, plus we got Melissa with her history moments coupled with that. I think this is a great opportunity to get the word out on TV and on the radio.
We'll see how it goes. Maybe we should look into that.
I think so.
Let's do that. All right, okay. Taking a break here. Bernie Sargent's in the house. If you got a call for Bernie...
544-5876 I was like, what?
And 544- see what happens.
Hey, 544-KTSM.
I'm Amy Arrett, founder and CEO of Madison Reed, a company that's revolutionizing the way women color their hair, a company I named after my daughter. Madison Reed is the ultimate hair color hack. The quality of a salon, the convenience and affordability of at-home hair color, and an ammonia-free formula with ingredients you could feel good about. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first purchase. Use code BEAUTY.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using our intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Red Nose Day returns on May 24th. Since 2015, Walgreens has been supporting Red Nose Day and helped raise over $100 million for children living in poverty. Just a dollar can make such an amazing impact on children who desperately need help, nutritious food, or school supplies. So head into Walgreens, the official retailer of Red Nose Day, to pick up your Red Nose or purchase participating products to help ensure children here in the U.S. and around the world are safe, healthy, and educated. Get your Red Nose today, only at Walgreens, because everyone counts.
As a marketer, you want to reach everyone, adults, teens, millennials, but it's not like these groups all hang out in the same place, right? Actually, wrong. They're all right here, listening to radio commercials just like this one. Radio ads connect with 93% of Americans every week. That's more than Google, more than Facebook, more than TV. In fact, radio reaches 20% more millennials than TV. Want more of the people you want to talk to all in one place? You want to get to iHeartMedia.com and get AM/FM working for you. iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio, which means you can take us with you wherever you go. But there's so much more than radio. Tell us an artist you love, and iHeartRadio creates a custom station just for you with their biggest hits and similar artists. It's that easy. As you listen, thumb up or thumb down songs, and we personalize the station to suit your taste. So right there on your phone, in your pocket, it's us and your own artist stations based on your faves. iHeartRadio. It's more than just radio. It's all your music, too. Download the free iHeartRadio app now.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, are you ready for this, Melissa Sargent?
Yes.
It's going this week only in El Paso, Inc.
An exclusive look into downtown's long-anticipated Stanton House Boutique Hotel, from a speakeasy to the rooftop patio.
Also in the Inc., and mental health training for preschoolers prevent future violence, so we can prevent future schoolers. But anyway, researchers testing new curriculum in El Paso.
Everything you need to know about this year's Neon Desert Music Festival.
El Paso's premier business journal is El Paso Inc. It's available for home and business delivery.
And that's... You threw me off. Okay, El Paso's premier journal, El Paso Every Day. Visit ElPaso.com to subscribe.
Oh, both of those lines start the same, don't they?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that. Okay, now,
are you ready? Are you ready for the next thing?
Yes, I am.
This week only on ABC 7 Extra, the Texas primary runoff election is coming up on Tuesday. Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, it'll be a live debate between county judge candidates John Cook and Ricardo Samaniego. Sunday night, 10:35, only on ABC 7.
You can join host Stephanie Guadian in the discussion by email, Twitter, or calling in. That's Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m., immediately following ABC News at 10.
Should be an interesting debate. Bernie Sargent.
Yes.
I don't think you want to comment on that debate, or maybe you do. Or maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Whatever. It's going to be an interesting discussion because I'll go ahead and do it. We got one candidate there that's pro-history and one that isn't. And at that point, I think I've already made my – in fact, I've already voted.
Me too.
And I think we need Mr. Samaniego in there. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what the other guy can do, and it's got us where we are.
Yes.
Now, shall we move on to other topics here?
Yeah.
Let's talk about another pioneer. Oh, we got a caller here from a guy named Ken. Ken, good luck with this. Bill, you ready for this? Ken, we're going to try to put you on the air. You ready for this, Ken? Good morning.
Yes, I am here. Kenneth Woods.
Oh.
I need to know about the Butterfield Stage route going through El Paso, Texas, and I say that because I grew up on Highway 66, just south of Tipton, Missouri, where the Butterfield started, and the horses would be fed and watered at the spring there in, I can't remember that county, near Lebanon, Missouri. Can you tell me about the Butterfield Stage route going through El Paso, Texas?
We have an expert in-house, Bernie Sargent. He used to ride the Butterfield Stage.
That's right.
That's right.
Back in the day.
He used to carry the shotgun.
Yeah, I'm really. It's really kind of sad because the horse that I rode all the time was out in front of Kmart, and they've closed that store, so I had no horse.
It went from a nickel to a quarter.
Yeah, it did. Quarter horse. We had the Butterfield ran through here for 3 years, 58 through 61, and there was two routes that actually came into El Paso, a southern route that came up and followed the river as close as they could because of the water, but it also had problems in that the Indians, the Native Americans that lived along there were not too friendly to the folks with the Butterfield or with any stagecoach line. So they would typically steal the livestock. They'd burn the stations and so on. There was a northern route that came through the mountains just east of Waco Tanks, and that was typically where they came through that was a little safer for the most part.
I just flashed on the day you and I were out there filming a wagon train going through there.
A wagon train, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Let's just put Ken back on if we can and say, hey, Ken, what are your thoughts on that?
Thank you for that information. I didn't know anything about El Paso, just moved here, and this is my very first day to tune in to your history.
That's wonderful.
Thank you
Dude,
very much.
I got news. You lucked out because you'll learn El Paso history this way.
Yeah.
And what you're going to find out next is where the stage went after Waco Tanks. It made a beeline for Concordia Cemetery
right
through a golf course.
That's right. Yeah, through the Butterfield Trails Golf Course out there, down through Concordia Cemetery to downtown to where Star Westernware is downtown. That was the Butterfield Overland headquarters, the largest building between St. Louis and San Francisco for many years.
Were those golfers ticked off when that stagecoach
Oh, they're really upset because the horses made a lot of noise going
through
there. It was hard to putt.
And they have to go through. And
well, he can't all the oxen free. And one more thing. If you want to read a good book about the Butterfield, probably the best book, Glenn Ely's book.
Glenn Ely, yeah.
Look up Glenn Ely, buy his book, buy it online, whatever, read it. It'll tell you everything you want to know about every stage stop. Glenn's done an extensive study on it for many years.
All right, Ken, I want to ask you, can you hear us without the radio being on in the background?
No, I can't because I'm hearing impaired and now 82.
Well, thank you. Thank you for getting on the radio with us. And good
Thanks
luck
for
with
listening.
Your stick here every Saturday morning, 10 to noon. We've got history lessons on a regular basis. Thank you very much.
And welcome to El Paso.
Indeed. And calling in perfectly with a question that Bernie actually knew.
Yeah.
But Bernie, you know a lot of history.
Well, you know, in fact, if you think about there was a trail called the Jackass Trail.
Oh, yeah.
And their headquarters was also at the site of the Crest Building before the Crest Building was built.
Well, that was a stable.
Yeah.
Of some kind, right?
But it
there.
Was, yeah, it was a Jackass Trail headquarters.
That's the stable it was.
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing was, El Paso was equidistant basically between one end of this thing and the other.
Yeah, midpoint.
And so they put the hotels here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get off and quit riding and bumping around for a couple of days and then get back on another stage in a couple of days, this is where you'd hang out.
That's kind of what happened to a lot of the folks. They got this far and thought, I'm either not going to go further because I don't want to endure that kind of a ride.
Ah.
Considering you only had like a 17 to 18 inch. Span inside the coach for your butt.
Uh-huh.
That's all you were allotted. And it could get very uncomfortable.
Well, I would think the next 17 inches is somebody else and somebody else.
Yeah, and some of these people were not 17 inches wide.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to buy two tickets, did they?
No.
They should have.
There was no seat backs.
I was going
right
to say, and there's
position.
no seat belts either. In those,
no,
those.
Not at all.
Oh,
and
my.
If you can imagine that the comfy seats, the best, the premier seats were right behind the driver.
Because
of less dust. Amount of dust.
Yeah, less amount of dust because the dust would be coming back in the back windows.
Yeah,
well,
and the mud and everything.
They would rent
else.
The roof. I mean, you could actually sit on the roof and ride the stagecoach.
Oh, my goodness.
And they'd always tell you, if it looks like we're going to go off the path, jump.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
If it looks like the Indians are going to get you,
duck.
Duck.
In fact, when they did the recreation of the Butterfield Trail, the gentlemen that came through and rode from Missouri back to Tombstone, as far as they went, we rode on top, and that was exactly what they said. And I know exactly because we were coming down off of that road.
Yeah.
And he said, the first thing he said to us is, if this gets rough, jump. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And it was a long way down.
It was a long ways down.
But it's a matter of which is survival and which is not.
Yeah. I can just imagine, though. Whew.
Let's take a moment here, Bernie, because I know you know a lot of the details here. The El Paso Train Show is on today and tomorrow, started yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having a biggie down there, Historic Preservation Month. And the railroads came here in 1881, so you can go down there to Freeport MacMoran today.
Off Hawkins.
Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing plant. That used to be Phelps Dodge.
Yes, it did.
And you know they once had a smelter there with a big, tall stack and everything? They took
that
down?
Yeah, it was one of, I think, a half a dozen or so smelters we had in El Paso.
There's a lot going on down there.
Yeah.
But today it's a train thing. The first 10 kids on Saturday get a free train
train T-shirt. That's probably already happened. Here's a number to call if you want details, 204-3600. But that is very interesting history, 204-3600. Woody's, ring up Woody. Say, hey, Woody.
Will we?
The guy on the radio told me to call you. What do you got for me?
Yeah. There's going to be Six Guns and Shady Ladies is going to put on a show at 3 o'clock. It starts at 3. The actual train robbery reenactment of a real actual train robbery that took place in El Paso will be right around 3:30, quarter of 4.
And in that train robbery, Patricia Kidney very kindly gave us a rundown of that thing. Melissa, do you remember some of those details? Because they end up blowing up the train on one end of the train.
Yeah, they threw a piece of dynamite in there, and then one gentleman went on board the coach to try to get into the safe, but it didn't work out in his favor because they found a gun and, lead poisoning.
What they did was they had a gun, and they were in there, and they went into the back of the train, and they didn't realize. They thought, they scared him into the back, but they didn't realize the guy had a gun, and so he kind of they kind of stayed like they didn't. They were scared of them at first. So when the guy came in the door, they came out, and the guy that was in front shot him directly because didn't plan on him having a gun. Killed the first man in the door right away.
Yeah, and the other guy took off running down the tracks. He said, I'm not going to...
Actually, they held on, and he took the man, his buddy's body, up front into the fireman's cabin, believe it or not.
Well, we'll see what happens because they're going to reenact it today.
I know. I was there for practice.
See what happens with it as it goes along. But that's today. Get down there and take a look at that because a big old steam engine like that. This is the steam engine that used to be in front of Union Station.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a second steam engine. Actually, the first steam engine was locomotive number one.
Right.
That one is now down in what used to be the train museum and is now MCAD's
Visitor Center.
The Visitor Center for...
MCAD's there also with their offices.
That's
and then
true,
there's the Destination El Paso Visitor
that's
Center.
That's the crowd. Yeah. And a police station there that was supposed to be retail, but that's what's in there now.
Yeah.
And so that location has the locomotive number one. But we're talking about the next one,
mm-hmm.
which is 3420.
Mm-hmm.
And 3420 was a 1904 steam locomotive. And there's a 1929 caboose. You got your caboose down there, 1929 version. So that's all going on down there today. And I think it's going to be interesting. They're having some food events down there. They must have something. Free T-shirt, a party
hat.
They're
going to have a food truck
food
down
trucks.
There
are food trucks down there, souvenirs for sale. They're talking about history, robbery, actors. A lot going on down there. Again, how to get there?
Just head south on Hawkins off of I-10, and it'll be on the, I believe it's on the left-hand side.
Right, right-hand side.
Right-hand
it's
side?
A, it's a second turn on the right. There's two Freeport Mac Moran turnoffs.
Okay.
The first one with the big oil tanks, don't do that one. Go to the next one, which is the truck entrance, and they have pulled the train out in the park that's over there.
Yeah.
And that very interesting history. All right, let's make sure we get that in because that is going to happen today. And also tomorrow, noon to 5.
Yep.
I don't think there's any reenactments tomorrow.
No,
but they,
not tomorrow.
They do have the... The adventures.
I have to make a correction. He did not take the body. He wanted to try to take him, but it didn't work out. They tried to get the engineer to go back, but
they wouldn't
work.
Do it.
No, I correct myself.
Okay,
let's go back and look at the videotape.
I will.
Oh,
I just went and read my note again, or the note here.
So it goes. All right, Bernie. What else do we need to know about? You got pioneers. A lot of pioneers to talk about. I mean, there's 30 or 40 of those guys in that picture. And there's more in the group.
I think there was like 46 or something like that, pioneer members. In that particular photograph, I think there was somewhere around 30 to 35.
Would that crowd have been the same group that did the McGinty band?
Some of them were McGinty members. Yes, they were.
I expect you to turn on the McGinty band here one day.
You know, I've been asked to do that. That would be a lot of fun to do. We probably would consume adult beverages like the McGinty's did.
That's how they got the music sounding so good.
Yeah.
And what if somebody had a sitar? Do you think they could be pulled into this group if they had a sitar?
Probably so.
I know a guy who has one.
Yeah.
And it's not what they used to do in El Paso, but it could be what they do now in El Paso. I think we got
him. Does he have a hookah to go with it?
A hookah? Maybe there's a caterpillar who needs one of those. But I'm not sure about
one
the.
We'll ask Alice.
Go ask Alice. Okay, we have just digressed.
Never mind. We went back to high school.
And then nobody's listening anymore because these people turned
I don't think did Bill hear us.
Crazy. But the train thing today, go down there and take a look at that.
Well, the Harvey girls are going to be there.
Yes.
They'll be talking about their experiences with the rails. And
the Hobo
the
history,
model railroaders will be there. And it should be a lot of fun for people of all ages.
Well, our new guy that called in today, was that
Ken?
Was that, Ken, yeah, Ken. Ken should go down there today. It's I-10 to Hawkins. Hawkins toward the river, if you don't know where that is, it's the one going down, not up.
Down the hill.
And you go down there, take a couple, maybe a mile.
And it's really green and shady. There's pavilions. It's a very nice park down there.
So it's decent weather
today. Take your lunch with you,
That's great weather.
So that's going to happen today. Yeah. So take a look at that. All right, Bernie, what else do we need to know about things? Tell us some more pioneers. Zach White was a pioneer.
Zach White was a pioneer. Simeon Hart was a pioneer. You know, just the movers and shakers of El Paso. And the requirement to become a member of the Pioneers, you had to live in El Paso prior to 1900. And so that, you know, you had to have residency here. So that's how these people built their group.
When was this club?
1904.
04 was when they started.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same as this train engine.
Yeah.
I think a train engine could have been a member. Whatever.
But they would meet. I mean, a bunch of guys would get together, but then they decided they needed to do something to perpetuate the history of El Paso, and that's when they came up with the idea of the Pioneer Association.
Interesting stuff mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Well, and that crowd has been resurrected.
Yes.
As sort of a dormant nonprofit. It's coming back.
It's kind of been in the background for a long, long time. I know that the property where Camp Pioneer sits was deeded to the Pioneer Association in perpetuity as long as they maintain the property for use such as the Girl Scouts and now the Boy Scouts. And so the Boy Scouts are in there. They're doing all kinds of improvements. They're just fixing the place up. We have aspirations of doing some neat things to open it up to the public from time to time so other folks can come in there and visit. But it's just a really neat place. It's about 26 acres along the Rio Grande. Yeah, a little bit in Texas and a lot in New Mexico.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. You have any crawdads in those ditches?
Probably so.
As a kid, I was going out there. I remember that's what I used to do, go out there and catch crawdads.
Crawdads, yeah.
And be careful they don't catch you.
Yeah.
All right, taking a break here. Shall we do that? We should. Oh, the engineer's on the phone here. You never know here. Can we take a break? Oh, hey, he can take a break while he's on the phone. Try calling us. I don't know.
You can see what happens. Or you can go to the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page. I put up our guest from the last hour, and I'm going to pick a lovely picture of a Mr. Sergeant up soon.
Be sure you shoot Bernie.
That's right. Uh-huh. We could shoot him. Yes, yes. Or call us at 544-5876. We can't guarantee if we'll answer. Or call 544-KTSM. Talk to Shelly.
Hey, whatever.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
In today's connected world, it takes just one weak link and your personal information can get into the wrong hands. Good thing new LifeLock with Norton now has protection for your identity and devices. Join at LifeLock.com and use promo code RISK for an extra 10% off your first year.
It was about this time of year, back in 1881, after a trial in Mesilla, the Sheriff Pat Garrett took Billy the Kid to Lincoln, New Mexico, where he was to be hanged until dead. It didn't turn out that way. Billy the Kid escaped and killed both of his guards while Garrett was out of town. And what you've just heard is a snapshot of what came to be known in these parts as the Lincoln County War. This Sunday, we'll be sidling our iron horses and heading to the old Lincoln County Courthouse on the west end of Main Street, where to this day, you can still see a famous bullet hole Billy made during his flight. It's one thing to read about history, but any hog will tell you it's entirely different to experience it in person. To breathe the air, to ride along the gurgling Rio Bonito River, which forms the northern boundary of a town still not marred with gas stations or convenience stores. To experience the reality that became history, click on BarnettHarley.com or get your ride at Barnett Harley Davidson. Because now, just like back in the old West, man is measured by his mount.
Do you really have to pay $100 for a $100 bottle of wine? I say no, you don't, and it's my business to prove it. I'm Cameron Hughes. My company, Cameron Hughes Wine, partners with boutique wineries from around the globe, selling their wines directly to you at amazing savings. How amazing? That $80 bottle of wine? Just $30 from us, guys. $50 Pinot from your local wine shop? Just $20 from us. We're not making this up, folks. Get more. Pay less at Cameron Hughes Wine. Guaranteed. I've been doing this for 17 years now, folks. Nobody brings you real, high-quality boutique wines better than chwine.com. My name is on every label for a reason. My promise is solid. You'll love this wine. Now, don't take my word for it. Visit our website and read the reviews from customers and top wine critics as well. To get you started, we'd like to offer you free shipping on a 3-bottle order. Just visit chwine.com and use promo code 2929 at checkout. Remember, we guarantee every bottle of wine we sell, so visit chwine.com today and enter code 2929. That's chwine.com, promo code 2929.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Yeehaw, we're on the radio. Did you know that?
Are we back on the radio?
Yeah, I got the professional cue from the professional cure.
I saw the finger.
He threw the finger. We're on the radio. Anyway, Bernie Sargent's here for a couple more minutes here. We got things to talk about. Specifically, they have now noted all over the county.
Yes.
Ooh. What is the Camino Real? Well, you're on it, dude. But that's not what it says on the sign.
No.
What does it say on the sign?
It says historic route, auto tour. There's a number of different variations, but it's the Camino Real de Tierra Dentro, King's Highway, the oldest and the longest of the Camino Reals coming out of Mexico. We finally got the signs up within the last couple of weeks. We put up the very last sign this last Wednesday down in Isleta. And it was a real fun event because there was Gary Williams from the Community Foundation, Steve Burns, who has since retired from the National Park Service, and myself, back in the days when I was with the County Historic Commission, started this program. We laid out this whole map through the county from Chicken Ranch Road, which is at roughly San Elizario, all the way to Anthony, Texas/New Mexico. And it was the route that the Camino Real or Oñate followed when he was taking his legions of people and animals from Mexico up to a little area north of Santa Fe.
Our new guy, Ken, needs to understand what this is.
Yeah.
He needs to look into this because the Camino Real is huge.
It is huge. It's a really big deal. And everywhere else along the Camino Real, the 1,400 miles plus that it runs, there were signs except for in El Paso. So lo and behold.
Up until last week.
Lo and hold, behold, after 12 years of working on this thing, it's a reality. And we're so excited about it.
The Camino Real, it means the King's Highway.
Yeah.
And the Tierra Adentro means into the interior.
Yes.
So you got yourself perspective of the people talking like this was Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking north and saying, we got to go up there and check out those Indians. Mm-hmm. We got to go find their seven cities of gold.
Gold.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was the big deal back then.
And then along the way, convert the natives to Catholicism.
And to citizens of Spain, taxpayers.
That's right.
That was the other thing they wanted to do, make sure those people turned into taxpayers.
Of course. They got to pay for the missions.
We're providing protection from yourself.
That's right.
Or whatever. And we're going to charge you for it.
And you're going to like it.
And that sounds like a very progressive thing to do these days. But anyway, so that's what it was. It was the highway. And it wasn't like they put in curbs and sidewalks and they made a pavement. It's just a path they took.
Well, it was something that the natives before them had followed.
They were following animals.
It was a trade route, yeah. They were following animals because of the water that was available.
Right.
And they would trade with the different tribes along the route. And so that was a natural for Oñate to follow that up. They tried to take a shortcut through Salamanyuco. That didn't work too well with the carretas and the oxen and so on.
So they had these 80-some-odd carretas trying to push them or pull them through sand.
Sand, right.
And Salamanyuco is a sand dunes, red sand down south of Juarez.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a shortcut there, darn near died, managed to get to the river in time not to die.
Celebrated a La Toma.
La Toma was a big, that means the taking or the eating or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took the land for the King of Spain, and the natives said, say what?
Go fish.
But they had the guns, and so they prevailed.
Yeah.
And so that's how we have a Camino Real. And now it's an historic road.
Absolutely.
And you all marked it up really good.
Got real nice brown signs. You'll see them all along, like I say, starting in San Elizario all the way up Paisano, up Donovan. And you'll see the signage along the way. It's really cool.
And so when people say that Texas history begins in El Paso, this is one of the things we're talking about.
Very much so.
1598 established route through a city or through a county that was all of a sudden later to become El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And the name El Paso came from?
Oñate.
Yay.
And how'd he do it?
How'd he do it?
The howdy doody. No, it wasn't to pass through the mountains.
Nope.
Everybody thinks the Pass of the North was the Pass of the North. No, it was the crossing of the river.
That's right.
And that got marked on a map as El Paso. So every time they talked about a landmark, El Paso.
See?
And now we know what that means.
That's right.
And now it's a big darn city, and it's down there by what's known as Hart's Mill. And Hart's Mill
is La Hacienda. All right, Bernie Sargent, thank you for being here. Let's do this again. Maybe
absolutely my pleasure.
Come back in July. We got some Vietnam vets who are special forces coming in.
Yep.
Come trade some stories of Vietnam with those guys.
I know some of those guys.
I bet you do. Melissa coming back, not next week, but
not
on
week after next.
We'll be live in 2 weeks, but next week we're going to be here on tape, right?
And one thing could I say, please go out and vote. And keep in mind, vote for the person that's going to protect and elevate the heritage and culture of our community.
And is economically smart.
And his name is Samaniego when it comes to county judge.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. All right, enough of that. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out, because the future of El Paso promotion should be on heritage tourism.
Should be.
And I don't think it's going to go that way if we get the wrong guy in there. So, all right, enough of this. Back in a couple of weeks live, back next week with Patriots from the Barrio on a replay. Thank you all for joining us.
See you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you in 2 weeks live.
Bye.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-500-0898. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-500-0898. That's 1-800-500-0898. 1-800-500-0898.
GraduationPlaylist.com has everyone talking and listening. Sure, it's easy to go to GraduationPlaylist.com and type in the year you graduated, but you know what else is fun? Pick another year and just browse. 75 was fun. And 99 was unique.
Welcome to my window.
Try a year. It doesn't have to be your year. So click that music time machine and listen to the music that was the soundtrack of your graduating class, or your mom's, or your boyfriend's. GraduationPlaylist.com from iHeartRadio. Try it free now.
Freedom of speech lives here.
To me, freedom of speech is being able to say anything you want.
El Paso's News Radio.
NBC News Radio, I'm Denise Allen, Membrano. The world watched as Meghan Markle joined the British royal family. The Los Angeles-born actress and Prince Harry exchanged vows at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, England.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
The Duke of Cambridge, Prince William, was Harry's best man, and Prince Charles walked Markle down the aisle as millions tuned in to watch from around the globe. There's no word yet on where the newlyweds will spend their honeymoon. One woman is dead and another is in the hospital following a shooting near a high school outside of Atlanta. Police say an argument led to the shooting last night after a graduation ceremony near Mount Zion High School in Clayton County. Officials from the Perry Learning Center say the victims were not students. The woman who died was reportedly shot 3 times in the chest, while the woman recovering was shot in the leg. Police say the suspect of the shooting is still at large. President Trump is expressing sadness and outrage after the nation's latest school shooting. At the White House yesterday, Trump called the shooting at a Texas Gulf Coast high school horrific.
We're closely monitoring the situation, and federal authorities are coordinating with local officials. This has been going on too long in our country. Too many years, too many decades now.
He said the nation grieves for the terrible loss of life. 10 people were killed and 10 more wounded when a student opened fire at Santa Fe High School. Trump said his administration is committed to keeping weapons out of the hands of those who should not have them. He argued that everyone in government must work together to keep children safe. Trump ordered flags to be lowered to half staff at all public buildings and military bases. First Lady Melania Trump is back at the White House to continue her recovery. She returned home this morning following surgery to treat a benign kidney condition. Mrs. Trump had been hospitalized at Walter Reed Medical Center since Monday. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike Davis taking a look at your weekend forecast from our partners over at the CBS 4 Warren Weather Center. Well, the borderland is in store for an absolutely beautiful weekend. For your Saturday, expect sunny skies today, high temperatures right around 90, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, clear skies, lows in the upper 50s. Then for Sunday, mostly sunny and highs in the lower 90s. You can always get your complete forecast over at cbs4local.com.
We have more details on the royal wedding. Queen Elizabeth on hand at St. George's Chapel for today's wedding. NBC's Katie Turr with more on what the Queen was wearing.
She's wearing a delicately flared dress in lime, lemon, purple, and gray printed silk. The coat is an edge-to-edge coat with a frogging fastening in lime silk tweed.
Prince Harry and his brother, meantime, Prince William, donned their military uniforms. On a more somber note, we are learning more today about Friday's shooting at a high school near Houston, Texas. 10 people were killed, including an exchange student from Pakistan and substitute teacher Cynthia Tisdale. Police in Texas are expected to release the other identities later today. One woman has died and another injured from a shooting at a high school.